Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We are going to continue in our series today, Healthy Me, and Pastor Bill is going to bring the word as we dive into this topic of anxiety. And so let's bow, pray for Pastor Billy, and then I'm excited for what the Lord's put on his heart. So would you bow with me this morning? Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the chance to dive into your word. Lord, we just talked about casting cares and anxieties and those things to your throne, to your feet. And so, Lord, this conversation matters. It matters. It matters to you, and it matters to us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help Pastor Billy today to communicate the truth and the compassion you have planted in his heart for us today. So speak through your servant and bless him today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you,
brother. Amen. I will not die, but live, and we'll proclaim what the Lord has done. It is good to be with you guys again. Thought we were getting snow, but it looks just like rain. So I think we're okay for the next little bit. Funny enough, I did go back and listen. I wanted to listen to what Pastor Jared brought to you last week on this topic of depression. And I thought Pastor Jared addressed it beautifully. And there was great hope extended through that message, through God's word. He began last week, funny enough, with a t-shirt, right? He had this t-shirt illustration, and I'm going to begin with one this week, and here it is on the screen. It says, "What a year this week has been." Some of you all feel like that right now, and this is true. If this was at a store called Altered State, they sell clothes for ladies, but if this was in a man's size, I would probably buy that shirt. So this has been a reality in my house this week. Everything began okay, as normal, with four kids and whatever. Then Tuesday evening comes along, and Mom, my wife, comes down with what appears to be the stomach flu. And I don't have it, so you don't have to keep your distance, although if you want to, I understand. I got an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 9-month-old. And a mom who's throwing up downstairs. And so this is Tuesday night, so I'm isolating them upstairs, and we're trying to do that and stay away and keep clean, and then deciding, hey, is anybody sick? And then they're coming down with some kind of cold, and now they're coughing, and we haven't even been out of the house, so I don't even know where that came from. And so, like, this is a reality in my house this week. And then we're like, okay, are we going to have church? Is it going to snow? And so what a year this week has been. And so welcome back to our series titled Healthy Me, Mind Made Up. I'm sorry, I meant to print off my notes for the slides back there, but you're doing great. The title of this sermon this week is For Nothing. For Nothing. And we are talking about anxiety. I want to make a quick distinction between what we mean when we use the term anxiety, because sometimes we relate anxiety and depression in a similar way. And they do connect. They do interrelate to each other. And sometimes they kind of feed into each other. But depression, as Pastor Jared addressed it last week, it's this overwhelming sense of dread and cloud. And I just can't escape the bleak and darkness. And anxiety is, it's more of this angst, this breathlessness, the what if, the unknown. And so there is a difference between the two. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental disorders in the United States. They have been on the rise, especially in the last few years. I believe the pandemic we all went through brought a lot of that to the surface in many ways. The Anxiety and Depression Association of America says that anxiety is one of the most common forms of mental illness. Anxiety can affect your health. If you suffer from an anxiety disorder, research suggests that you may run a higher risk of experiencing physical health problems, too. So when you manage your anxiety, you're also taking care of your physical health. Anxiety is essentially, it says, a heightened sense of worry that causes your body to respond physically. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You may frequently feel restless and sick to your stomach and often develop headaches from your body being in a near constant state of fight or flight. Common patterns of anxiety. Anxiety can show itself in several ways. The most common signs of anxiety tendencies include this: rumination, ongoing state of negative thoughts and worry, speculation, constant worry and dread about the future. I'm just setting up the framework of what we're addressing today. Avoidance, not dealing with uncomfortable situations or a fear of being in a social situation. And so further avoidance often will lead to social isolation and a constant feeling of just wanting to escape. And research has shown, as we've already addressed with life groups, that social isolation, this individualistic culture we live in, that isolates us in our own bubble, that isolates us in our own visions and our own goals, actually leads to further anxiety. And so here we are on January 19th, 2025. Fear and worry and anxiety are not surprisingly intense as we begin a new year, living in the days in which we're living. What are these days? There's record-breaking magnitude and devastation of natural disasters, storms, hurricanes, fires, as we just talked about. There's relational distress and brokenness that we see on the news, on our social media feeds, on our TVs, and in our own personal lives. There's personal illness and there's personal loss of someone in your family or someone that you know closely. Inflation has been through the roof. Our news feeds, whether it's through your phone or through your TV, they're filled with rumors of war and actual war, terrorist attacks, random acts of senseless violence, political upheaval, downward trends, nuclear threat, refugee plights, dictator decisions, and crippling diseases. The culture continues jamming secular worldviews at our children and at us at every turn. Secularism, individualism, materialism, a sexual revolution. And perhaps there's areas in your own life that have been revealed that must be surrendered to God. Certainly a case for anxiety, right? Yet even with all of this, we are told in our Bibles to be anxious for nothing. Well, surely, Pastor, you don't mean 2025, right? Surely the Bible doesn't really apply that to the political scene like the one we've been witnessing in our world. Aren't we justified if we worry, if we're fearful, if we are anxious right now? According to the Word of God, the simple answer is no. My wife sent me this a little while back. It's a reading, an old selection. It's called The Difference. It says, I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbling about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all the keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we ask you right now in these moments that you would open our ears to hear the truth that you want to speak to us today, that you would incline our hearts to obey in faith, and that you would direct our steps and our lives and our minds according to your perfect love for us that is at work in us and at work through us and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have two main texts, and the first one is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, it's going to be on the screen, verses 6 and 7. But I want to back up real quick and get a running start at this verse. Two verses before, in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This is the Apostle Paul writing to this group of believers in Philippi. And at the current moment, the Apostle Paul is chained as a prisoner to a Roman guard in Rome. And he writes these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then what does he say directly after that? Here we are. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, says the man that's chained in a prison cell. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That word anxiety there in the Greek means to take care, to look out for, to be anxious about. You know what's fascinating? This verse, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, has consistently been the top highlighted passage in the Bible on Kindle over the last few years. Not John 3:16, not some of those verses that you may have known growing up. This passage right here is the most highlighted verse in the Kindle Bible over the last few years. You can Google it. Continually. It's like we get it, but yet we haven't gotten it yet. So is Paul out of touch with reality? I mean, is Paul out of touch with reality? I mean, it would have made for a sufficient challenge, I think you'll agree with me, if he had just said, be anxious for less things. That would be challenging enough. Or be anxious only on Mondays, right? Or, hey, be anxious only in seasons of storms and afflictions. But that's not what he says. He doesn't seem to offer too much leeway here. But he doesn't simply write, just pray about it, right? That's not what we're talking about. He doesn't just say, just pray about it. He was too wise for that. He doesn't say, suck it up, tighten your bootstraps, let's go. No, that's not what he says. So let's lean in. You see, the word prayer here that he's talking about, by prayer and petition, this word prayer is the general word for making requests known to the Lord, to coming to the Lord with requests in conversation, in intimate communication, and making your requests known to him. It carries the idea of adoration, the idea of devotion, the idea of worship. It's not just throwing some words out there, but this idea of adoring the one to whom we're praying. In devotion, we're offering these prayers and these petitions as we worship. You see, Paul envisions here, he says, the peace of God, that's what we want, right? If you're honest, you want peace of heart, of mind. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. The language he's using here, the language of guarding our hearts and mind, Paul literally is framing this and saying, hey, God's peace is a soldier who will protect the hearts and minds of believers from anxiety and fear and doubt so they will not be overwhelmed. His language in the original text is this idea that God's peace is like a soldier that will guard your heart and your mind when you're trusting in him. And he himself is chained day and night to a Roman soldier. This verb here, this verb about being anxious for nothing, it can mean to be concerned about in a proper Christian sense, but here the meaning is clearly that of anxiety, this fretfulness, this undue concern, a perpetual state of angst in our life. And so don't hear me what I'm not saying. The emotion itself, anxiety, is sometimes a good thing. The emotion itself, you know, that feeling you get when your child's getting married, when you're about to start a new job, when you have a big test coming up, you get a little anxious, right? You get a little butterfly in your stomach. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this perpetual state of fretfulness, this undue concern, this angst that just, it begins to tear at our hearts, to tear at our minds, to tear at our emotions. Sometimes anxiety is a good thing because it causes us to lean in. Right? When they send you home from the hospital with another human being and no manual to tell you how to function, right? That's a good reason to be a little anxious. Michael was back there nodding his head. Oh, man. Yeah, amen. You see, Paul's not calling here for Christians to have apathy or inaction and just say, well, God's got it. I'm not going to be concerned. For as we make plans in the light of our circumstances, it's our privilege to do so in full trust that our Father hears our prayers and he knows what we need. When the Bible says, do not be anxious, do not worry, there's at least one critically important interpretation you and I can and must make, and it's here on the screen. It is possible to not be anxious. It is possible to not be anxious, to not have this perpetual angst in our life. And if you'll accept that it's possible to not be anxious, to not worry, then you must also accept that worry is often a choice that we make. We don't think it's a choice, right? Because anxiety feels like this monster that creeps up and takes over completely outside of our control. But listen, friends, you and I always make a choice to worry. A thought is introduced and we make a decision whether we'll respond with anxiety or take action and trust in him. Stay with me. What's at the core of our continual worrying, our perpetual angst, The Scientific American Journal, this isn't a religious publication, the Scientific American Journal notes this, and on the screen, chronic worrying stems from a craving for control. Chronic worrying, a chronic perpetual state of angst, often stems from this craving for control. Now listen, that can be for a lot of reasons, but that is what they're saying is often at the core. In the end, anxiety is this nagging, tormenting feeling that you cannot fully trust God to be in control of your circumstances. And some of you may feel that way this morning. Do your anxieties grow out of an underlying, if you were honest, a nagging idea that God cannot be trusted with your future? I'm gonna be honest. This is where I struggle most with my own children because oftentimes we'll fall asleep and I'll take them to their beds. They'll fall asleep in the bed with my wife and I, and I'll carry them to their beds and I'll have to verbally say it, right? Because I'm fearful of the future. What is the world gonna do to these kids with the way that things are going? And so I'll lay them in their beds and I'll have to pray out loud, Lord, they belong to you. Help me to be faithful in raising them, but I recognize that they belong to you. And so I have this nagging feeling that I wrestle with, okay, if I let go, what's gonna happen? But can I trust God or not? You see, however, if Jesus himself, if Jesus our Savior said, do not worry, do not let your hearts be troubled. In John 14, he offers us peace, he says, that the world cannot give. And the Apostle Paul then exhorts and commands those in the church in Philippi to be anxious about nothing. Then that means there is hope today, friends, that you can be free from a life of perpetual anxiety. And in fact, that God is reaching out in these moments with his loving grace. Pastor Max Lucado said this. He said, the presence, this is his book, Less Fret, More Faith. It says, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, the emotion, but the prison of anxiety is optional. If you don't hear anything today, hear this today, that the presence of anxiety, that emotion coming, right? It's an emotion we're gonna feel from time to time, but the prison of anxiety, according to God's word, is optional. You don't have to be bound by that. I want to make a note here, like we did in the previous week, on those who might need some professional help in this area. We do believe that a prescription may be necessary for a season to aid to freedom. We believe in Christian counseling and Christian therapy as an aid to freedom, to untangling some of these emotions that have dug themselves deep into our hearts and minds. We also believe in Celebrate Recovery Monday nights there in Harrisonburg, as an aid to freedom. There's no shame in journeying to wholeness and health by taking part in those things. I wanna make that note as we move on. We got one more text here that I wanna look at. That was the Apostle Paul. Now I wanna look at the Apostle Peter, one of them who was closest to Jesus during his life on earth. And here in 1 Peter 5, the people that Peter is writing to in this letter, they're living under the persecution, the daily persecution of the Roman Empire, Roman rule, and much of what they're facing, you and I would categorize as extremely stressful and anxiety producing. It would produce extreme anxiousness. But here it is, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. And Beth just read it. She just read it. The translation I'm gonna read is the ESV translation. It says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And listen, my version here, it has a comma. If you have an NIV text, it doesn't have the comma, it has a period. And so that's no fault to you for that translation. That's what I have as an NIV. But the original language, and listen, all the different translations, they might have put a comma or a period here or somewhere else. But the original language doesn't have a period after time, it has a comma. It's one long run-on sentence, okay? Compound sentence, whatever you want to call it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's an interesting word here used for casting, and I want to give you a demonstration. This word here used for casting is this idea. This is my old ball bag. This is, it's full of catcher's gear, cleats, four or five bats. But this idea of casting, the word he uses here in the original Greek is, it refers to throwing off as if you've been carrying a heavy weight, 100 pounds, but this ain't 100 pounds, but it's heavy. You can come feel it after the service. carrying this heavy weight that you can no longer bear and slamming it to the ground. That's what this word in the Greek carries, to place it forcefully. And so it's like you've been carrying this heavy weight, right? That's what anxiety is to us. We go through our day and we're trying to go to work. We're trying to take care of our children. We're trying to attend to our spouse's needs. We're trying to just make decisions for our aging parents. And we're carrying this anxiety. We don't know what's going to happen. Is the inflation going to hurt us? Who was elected? Well, and so we're carrying this anxiety. And the writer says, this is Peter writing to people under persecution. He's saying, humble yourself. And as you're humbling yourself, cast your anxiety, that weight that's heavy. You got to throw it off. You got to place it forcefully on Jesus. Not just gently and say, okay, if you can handle this, Lord, I mean, take it. No, this word carries force. It carries weight. Cast it all on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And the word casting is in the Greek aorist. That means nothing to you except the fact that this, it's a once and for all thing. It's not a, okay, Lord, you can have it. Okay, well, now it's Monday. I'm gonna try to carry this again. No, he says, no, give it to me. Give it to me and leave it there. Cast it all on him because he cares for you. The Greek also suggests this, and it's important because when you look under the surface, we see things. This idea is that the casting is happening simultaneously as the humbling, okay? Can you put the verse back on the screen real quick? The casting is happening simultaneously as the humbling. That's why it's important that there's a comma and not a period. Therefore, if we're not humbling ourselves in our life, then our casting of our cares and our anxiety lack the posture of heart that God truly desires, and that's humility. I don't have it up here, but the word pride and the word anxiety both have the letter I directly in the middle. And so oftentimes we think we've given our anxieties over to him, but really we've kind of went through the motions so we could check that off, but we really haven't humbled ourselves and recognized that he is ultimately in control. And here's the reality, here's the good news, that exemption from care, from anxiety, goes along with our humble submission and surrender to God. It's often the case we don't experience the freedom from anxiety that we desire because we're not willing to humble ourselves and remind ourselves we're not in control of most of the things we even get anxious about. So what does this humbling look like? It's surrendering totally to his loving care and not our craving for control. You see, the only peace that we have when we fight to remain in control, when we fight to hold on, is a fake fabricated peace that's based on circumstances. When we cast it, but really, really, we still got one hand on it. We've casted it, but we're kind of still attached to it. The advantage, the good news flowing from humbling ourselves under God's hand is confident reliance on his goodness in our lives in all circumstances. So what does it look like practically, you might ask, to humbly cast your anxiety on God? What can you do? Well, first, saying you trust someone or something and demonstrating your trust through action are two different things. I want us to understand that before we see what we can do. Saying you trust someone or something is different than demonstrating it through action. And I haven't tried this out yet, but see the stool. There's a stool here, right? And I can say, hey, I believe that I could stand on that stool and it's going to hold my weight. It's going to hold me. It's going to hold me. I trust that stool will hold me. And you say, okay. But there's a difference between me saying, I trust that this stool is going to hold me, and me saying, all right, I'm going to get on the stool. All right, I'm going to get on the stool. I trust that the stool is going to hold me, right? There's a difference between saying you trust something, saying you trust someone, and demonstrating it through action. It's two different things. Let me put this back here. I don't want to make anybody anxious. And so listen, here's the bottom line. Living free from worry and anxiety requires acting on our trust in Jesus. Acting. And by God's grace, there's something you and I can do about that today. According to God's word, we can wage war on worry and anxiety every day by doing these four things. These four things. And Pastor Jared and I talk, so this is easy to remember. It's four P's. Four P's, okay? The first is this, by praying. By praying. And they're going to be on the screen. By praying, focusing your prayers and your petitions. Look at that, I got them out of order. It doesn't matter. Focusing your prayers and petitions. No, you can put them both up there. By praying, right? We talked about this last week. Jared talked about this, and he gave you, right, P-R-A-Y. By praying intentionally in that moment when you begin to feel anxious, not to let those thoughts take control, but to submit them to the Lord through prayer. Go to him in adoration and worship and devotion and give those things to him. Pray it through. I liked his A from last week, a sandwich. Pray, focusing your prayers and your petitioning. The second thing is this, it's proclaiming. Proclaiming God's word and promises in our lives is powerful, okay? I'm not name it, claim it, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying proclaiming the truth of God's word in our life, taking control of our thoughts by dwelling on this truth that's found in this book. It's powerful. And this works on me often. It's a statement I read in a book a little while ago. It says you can never have a Christ-like mind without reading and listening to the scriptures regularly because you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. And personally, I'm going to be honest, the less time that I spend in regular communication with God through his word, the more likely I am to drift in my thoughts, my attitudes, my perspectives of those things that are happening outwardly. How about you? I literally heard this song yesterday, okay? This song, the lyrics to this song, it's called Still Waters, Psalm 23 by Leanna Crawford. I heard it yesterday, or I would have had Beth sing it. This is just some of the lyrics. This is about proclaiming the truth of God's word. Listen to what it says. It says, Great Aunt Maureen said at 103, write scripture on your heart for when you need it. Cause anxiety hates Psalm 23. So just say it to yourself till you believe it. And I'm feeling like I'm needing it right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by still waters till my fears are gone. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, I know you are with me. My Father, my friend, your goodness and mercy will follow me all my days. I know by your still waters I'm safe. Lord, I believe you can set me at ease. Turn this broken peace in me to peace and quiet. I know there's power in your word, so I'll say it over and over till my soul's reminded. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, he said, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Man, I want perfect peace. Praying, proclaiming, and the third is this, praising. Praising, worshiping the Lord with thanksgiving. We read about it in the Philippians text, in every situation. Pastor Louis Giglio said that worship is a weapon that pierces the darkness. Why is that? That's because worship recenters our hearts on the perfect love of God. Worship recenters our hearts on the perfect love of God. Worship in every situation. Praying, proclaiming, praising. And finally, the fourth is this, placing. Placing. It's what we just talked about. Humbling ourselves before God and casting, placing with force all of our cares on him. Let him have it. Don't generalize about your anxiety. Be specific with him. Stop and think about what it is that's actually making you anxious. The next time those thoughts come, the next time that fretfulness comes, name it, say it out loud, and then cast it hard on Jesus. Cast it on him. Placing. What's another way that we do this? Through breathing. Through breathing. Yeah, physical breaths are good for us. We've all heard that, right? Taking deep breaths. Some of you need to take a few deep breaths today. I'm going to be real honest. Last night, my kids, I told you they had a cold. My three-year-old, she's being diagnosed with asthma. And so we do breathing machine. We do the nebulizer every day. And when she gets a viral cold, it'll often put her into a coughing fit, which in the past, and she's only three, we've been in the hospital a handful of times because her oxygen has gone so low that we've had to take her to the hospital. And so when she starts coughing, her dad gets anxious. And last night at 1 a.m., I wake up and she's coughing and she's not stopping, and I'll go and adjust the pillow and she'll keep coughing. And so then I was like, I can't do anything. I'm gonna pray. If I have to get the nebulizer out, I will. But I was dealing with this last night. It has to do with breathing. And so here's one way we place our anxieties on him. We breathe, right? We breathe in. I can't. God, I'm not in control. I can't manage these people, solve all these problems, face this fear, be everything to everybody, be everywhere for everyone, get it right every time, and keep going with no rest. And then we got to breathe out. Don't hold your breath. Breathe out. But Jesus, you can. You can be the strength I need. You can sustain me. You can overcome my fears. You can do what I cannot do. Lead me, work through me, use me. My confidence is in you and your love because I'm your child. Living free from fear and anxiety, being anxious for nothing, as the Apostle Paul exhorts us, is really about trust. Do you believe God is able? Do you trust him to work in and through your circumstances that you're facing right now to do what's best for you, even though you might not understand it? Do you believe that he loves you and that he cares for you? Listen, I know while the fear and anxiety and worry that you may be facing is unique and can sometimes be complex, we all have the same hope today, and that is this, that God is fighting for us. Would you say that with me? God is fighting for us. That's the hope we have today. He's eager to guide us from darkness to light, from lies to truth, from fleeting to emotions to a hope-filled reality, from fretting to faith, from worry to worship, from anxiety to anticipation, from hopelessness to hope, from panic peace, from trying to trusting, from restlessness to repentance and rest, and from striving to stillness. And I'm going to give you that opportunity today before you leave this place to respond in just the way that we've talked about today, by proclaiming, by praying, by praising, by placing it all on him. By placing it all on him. To pray, proclaim, praise, and place. In these moments, as we worship, here's the invitation. To pour out your heart to God. Tell him what scares you. Tell him what bothers you and concerns you. Ask him to search you and show you where you may have false confidence or complacency. Confess any sins to him. Ask him to lead and direct you into his best for your life and cast your anxieties on him. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Would you stand with me? So that's the invitation today, to pray and to praise. And in both of those, to place it all on him, to throw it off and to throw it on him. Pastor Jared, Pastor Terry will be in the back if you want specific prayer. If not, you can stay in your seat. You can kneel at your seat. You can sit down. You can take a different posture, whatever you want. And then to worship as we sing this song together. Would you pray with me? I want to pray the prayer that I found in the by Pastor Locato. Dear Lord, you spoke to storms. Would you speak to ours? You calmed the hearts of the apostles. Would you calm the chaos within us? You told them to fear not. Say the same to us. We're weary from worry. We're battered and belittled by the gales of life. O Prince of Peace, give to us a spirit of calm. As we turn the page today, will you turn a new leaf in our lives? Quench anxiety. Stir courage. Let us know less fret and more faith as we trust in you, for you care for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.